opportunity to share with this wonderful church a word from the Word. I appreciate Dr. Gibbs for giving this opportunity and the leadership here for allowing me to say a word on this Sunday morning. Now, I must be honest with you, I was at a struggle with what I should say. Yeah, but God is more than able. Amen. I came in, looked up at the wall, and I saw the master's class. And so the Holy Spirit led me to the book of Matthew. I believe it'd be your second quarter, but we want to just try and share a little Sunday school lesson that I learned a long time ago. I was blessed to have Brother Levi Kennedy's sister as a Sunday school teacher, and she would teach us Bible verses. And in this particular chapter, the fifth chapter of the book of Matthew, verse number 8, she assigned me that verse, and I want to try and just encourage you today from this particular verse. What an interesting study in the book of Matthew, this fifth chapter. The word says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Beloved, this is one of the longest sermons recorded in the Bible, in this book of Matthew's, the fifth, the sixth, and the seventh chapter. It holds a great message of how we as believers and disciples ought to behave. There is a certain posture that we as Christians must possess. We must make sure that we are following first and have a heart to lead second. We find this interesting verse that shares with us about purity. There's something to be said about purity. And in particular, this particular verse talks about having a clean heart. And I believe that one writer in the Old Testament, I believe it was David, said, "Give me a clean heart so that I may follow you." Now, it's a blessing to know that God is not only able, but he will give us what we need. Because our word says if we ask, come on, anybody been to Sunday school up in here? Asking it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find, knock and the door shall be opened unto you. And so it's good to know that our Father loves us enough to give us just what we need. And as disciples, one thing we see, an ingredient that we need, and it's most important for us to have a clean heart. What is a clean heart? It's a heart that is unsoiled. It's unmixed. It's unpolluted. It's a heart that has been cleansed. It has been purged, forgiven, and it is prepared and made holy. It is the opportunity to have a heart with a single purpose. Amen. Many times we get too many things on our mind. We want to move in too many different directions. And I'm just blessed in my tender age to know that there are some times in our lives that we need to really take a good look at where we are in life. We need to really take a self-examination of ourselves so that we can make sure what we're doing is not something that we want to do. Somebody didn't get that. We're followers. If I can just look at this text, and you know I'm a long-winded preacher, but I'm gonna behave this morning because I'm not at home. Amen. But listen, Jesus saw a multitude of people coming. And he knew and understood that him being God, he could have handled it all by himself, but he had to teach a valuable lesson to his disciples. Ministry is a mighty work. And it is not wise to try and do it all by yourself. And so the Lord had taken an opportunity as he saw this multitude. He took his disciples. This was a lesson to his disciples. He took his disciples up into this mountain and he began to teach them some things. And I mean, he had a wide array of things that he talked about between chapters 5 and chapter 7. Each and every one of those things were vitally important to those disciples as they would take the responsibility to seek the lost and kindly entreat them into the body, into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And so there is a right way. And there is a wrong way. And so the right way Jesus is trying to get them to see is that you need to have your mind right. You need to have a pure heart. You need to understand what this mission is really all about. It's not about you all by yourself. It's about you taking on the responsibility and be leading others to Jesus Christ. And so in order to do this properly, we need to make sure that we have a clean heart. There are several significant points to note about the pure heart, the pure in heart. And we want to share just a few of them, and then I'm going to have my seat. The person who is pure in heart, beloved, they live a clean life. Now, the word says in James 1, verses 27, pure religion and undefiled before God is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their afflictions, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now, many times we get confused with what real religion is all about. Some of us want to go to church with our Sunday go to meeting clothes on. We show up with a big smile and talk about, Lord, I'm blessed and highly favored. And we think that's really doing what God wants us to do. It's good to come to church. We've been commissioned to come together and to have what we know as corporate worship, to fellowship one with another, to praise God in both spirit and in truth. But the real work is beyond the wall. And we have to keep this in mind as we are moving through life, as we are matriculating through this thing called life. We have to make sure that while we're out there in the world, we are not becoming of the world. We're staying unspotted from the world. We are a living example. We are that city that sits on a hill and cannot be hid. We must understand in a pure mind what our jobs really are. And so in order to effectively do our job, we have to stay unspotted from the world. And then another thing, a person with a pure heart, he washes his heart from wickedness. And he does this that he may be saved. There are a whole lot of folk who I know, and I'm not talking about y'all, I don't know y'all like that. But there are a whole lot of folk I know who have a mean street that's unbelievable, and they call themselves Christians. And they do wicked things, they say wicked things, they plot, and they go against those who are striving to do right, and that's not a good look. When it comes down to us as being believers, I know I'm not telling y'all something y'all don't know already, but y'all can say amen anyhow. Amen. But that person who has a pure heart, he washes his heart from wickedness. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 4 and 14, wash thine heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee? He poses a question that's important. And one thing I do know, I understand this. The older I get, the more I understand it. There are some things we need to test ourselves on. We need to try ourselves on some of the things that we study and we learn, because Bible class is wonderful. Yes, we can learn a lot of things. We can learn scriptures and we can learn how to listen and be attentive. But one of the most important things we need to learn is how to make application. And if we got a wicked heart, the word of God ain't gonna mix well with a wicked heart. And so we have to make sure that we wash ourselves. And we keep ourselves unspotted from the world. The person who has a pure heart, he obeys the truth through the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There's some truth, Dr. Gibbs, that's hard to obey sometimes. When you're dealing with Shirley people, some folk that are mean and they growling at you and scratching at you and biting at you, and you're doing the best you can to be holy, you have to make sure that there's something in you to sustain you and help you to be all that God has called you to be. And that something is not something that's ordinary. It's not something that you can just reach out and grab and pull in. You've got to have the Holy Spirit in you. When Jesus was ready to leave, he was ready to go back to his heavenly home. His disciples were concerned. They wanted to know, Lord, how are we going to make it? How are we going to deal with it? We've seen what you have endured. We've seen what you've gone through. And Jesus said, listen, I love you, and I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send you a comforter, and he's going to lead you into all truth. And some of all truths ain't easy truths. We have to learn how to deal with folk, amen? I'm not talking about none of y'all. I'm talking about them folk in Chicago. I'm not. But our God will give us what we need. Here's what the word says in 1 Peter 1:22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth, through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with what? With a pure heart, fervently. Fervently. You're going to have to keep on practicing this thing. You're going to have to make application of it. Even when you don't feel like it, even when you don't think it's doing any good, you got to keep on pressing through with love. See, it's love that covers a multitude of sin. It's love that has given us a right into the tree of life. It's love that's going to save us in the end. Love will represent us when we stand before the judgment bar of Christ. We need to have some love in our lives to make sure that we can get over the mean and wicked, surely, folk. So we need to make sure that we got some things in us that's going to help us to be better. And then we need some clean hands. Amen. Amen. We need some clean hands. Psalms 24, 4 through verses number 5, the word says, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the God of our salvation. We need some clean hands. I really don't want to stop. I don't want to put a nickel in the meter here to talk about clean hands, because it covers a whole array of things. But one thing for sure, we can't be, can I say messy? Can I say that? We can't be messy folk. We got to make sure that our minds are pure. And you know, the Bible says, so as a man thinketh, so is he. And so when our minds are right, our bodies will fall into suit. We'll do everything that God has called us to do. But in order to do these things, we have to sit at the feet of Jesus. We have to spend some time learning. We have to be discipled. Amen, Walt. This is what this lesson is all about. Jesus brought his disciples together because there was a great work, a great mission that needed to be done. And it's going to take more than just Jesus himself. Oh, he could handle it. He could handle it. But his lesson was to the disciples. They need each other. They need to stick together. And every time he sent them out, he sent more than one at a time. We need to have somebody who has our back, somebody who sees it the way the Lord wants us to see it, not the way I want to see it. The way the Lord wants us to see it, because the bigger picture is about saving souls. And this is what Jesus was. He seen the multitude. He said the harvest is plenteous, but it's the laborers that are few. We need to get some folk ready to go out of here and take. See, I was riding through y'all city the other day, and I'm seeing all these humongous churches. You know, the Potter's House, and all them churches. And I'm sitting up thinking, saying to myself, listen, they got something that belonged to us. I'll say it again. They have something that belongs to us. And so we have to prepare ourselves to go out and meet and greet, convince, convict, and convert those folk to the body of Christ. A lot of them have honest hearts, good spirits. But the word says that there is a way which seemeth right unto man. But the end thereof are the ways of death. And we have to make sure that we are presenting the righteousness of Jesus Christ. When we go, we ain't got to go out tearing their hair out and scratching their eyes out of the socket. We just need a little love. People will, they'll follow love. Dr. Gibbs, I want to be loved. When I go home and see my wife after being gone for 2 weeks, I don't want to fight. I want to. Let's talk. Let's have lunch. Let's have a good time. You know, and I'm sure you guys understand that, right, gentlemen? When you go home, you want to have a good time with your wife. You don't want no fighting. No fighting. You want some love. But sometimes you have to invoke love. You have to make sure that you are pushing towards love. And sometimes you have to suffer for love's sake. Amen. I got to get out of here. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. 2 Peter 3, verses 14. I want to tell you, a person's very best behavior is seldom, if at all, free from some of the mixture of self. It is questionable if a sinful creature can ever act perfectly. I tell church where I preach all the time, I'm not perfect. I'm not going to ever get up here and say that I'm perfect, because if and when I do fall, you're not going to be able to stab me to death with the thought that I thought I was perfect. No, ma'am, no, sir. No, sir. I read Romans 3:23, and I know it didn't say y'all. It said all. All of us come short at some point or another. And just as the congregation needs to be forgiven, amen, when leadership fail, when they fall, they need to be forgiven. Forgiveness is for everybody. And some folk in this world don't think that they ought to forgive folk for something. That's one of them sins. I can't get over that. We can't do that now. Pray for me. Pray for you. Nothing you need to forgive. If you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. This is what the scripture teaches. And so we have to channel our mind to listen to the master. Sit in the master's class. Learn from the master some of the most intriguing, most important, most electrifying, and soul-changing messages comes from Jesus. And we have to make sure that we are listening to Jesus. And so none of us are perfect. None of us are perfectly free from mixed motives. I don't care who you are. Doesn't matter where you come from. Doesn't matter how well educated you are. At some point or another, some spirit, and I won't say God, but some spirit places some things on our hearts. And we see them as good ideas. We see them as great ways. But, you know, my daddy would always tell me, you got to have enough sense to look down the road when you're driving. I tell my children this. I ain't going to say I tell my wife. Some of y'all might tell on me. But I tell my children this all the time. When you're driving a car, never just focus on the car in front of you. There are potholes out there you need to be looking for. There's some crazy people that might come over on you. You got to drive for you and others too. And so there comes a time in our lives we have to make sure we are preparing ourselves in such a way where we are not only being concerned about our motives or our ideas, but we're looking out for the whole. And this is what Jesus was doing. He was looking out for the whole. There were people in that crowd who really need special attention. There are some people in there that need to be loved. There's some people who were poor, people who had all kinds of needs. And if your mind ain't right, you won't meet the needs of people. You'll put a program together and say, well, this is the best I got. Take this. And we have to have enough compassion about us to be able to help others. I hope I'm not boring you all. I'm almost done. As the Bible says, there is none that doeth good. No, not one. Romans 3, verses number 12. The believer is to constantly search his heart and cleanse it in all of his impure motives. He have to make sure that his motives are not self-centered. They're not insidious. They're not deceptive. He ought to be transparent. Love ought to be his leading and guiding force. The word of God ought to be his foundation. And the focus of his life is to live right so he can die right, so that he can get up right. That's all I got for y'all from Matthew 5. But in closing, I want to just see if I can bless somebody in this audience, because one thing I do know, a whole lot of us come in here looking real good, but we're hurting so bad on the inside. Many of us have a hollowness inside of us that needs to be filled up with something. There's nothing that I can recommend that's greater than Jesus. No one can do you like Jesus. No one can do you like the Lord. I've been at a challenge, and I thank Brother Gibbs for praying for me, and many others of you who are out there who've been praying for me. My son, even now, he's at home. They had to rush him to the hospital the other night, and they had to put him in a medically induced coma because they had to do some things with him to try and help him to be able to breathe. And it's been a challenge for me being away. You know, I'm down here, and I have purpose for being here, but yet my son is sick. And I'm down here, but you know, there's some things that we need to learn how to pray about, but yet stay in the fight for the Lord. Now that's difficult, that's very difficult, but you remember when Jesus went looking for disciples and he was running across people and they making all kinds of mistakes, talking to Jesus like he didn't have good sense. Lord, I would follow you, but I got my Father. And, you know, let the dead bury the dead. Somebody thought that might have been a little bit harsh. But see, when you're trying to restore life and you're trying to give life to people, sometimes the sacrifices are greater than what many of us are willing to give. Some of us will go to work and work 12 hours. But when the preacher asks you to come for a special class, you make 1,000 excuses. Why, you know, I ain't talking about y'all. Make 1,000 excuses why you won't make that sacrifice. One of the greatest things that I've learned in life, and Dr. Evans blessed me with this, you need to learn how to live the gospel first and then preach it.
Yeah. Right.
It's conflicting when you're reading out of this book and it's telling you you got to make great sacrifices, you got to love the word of God, you got to love the will of God, you got to be willing to move at the drop of a hat, and you got to be able to deal with people who are unbearable and all of these things, but yet we make an excuse that, you know, it's really transparent. And we think it'll get us by. And so I was struggling. I was ready to go home. And I told my wife, I said, baby, I'm on the next thing smoking. She said, no. I said, we're all right. We're all right. You stay there and you do what you've been called to do. If it get any worse, and you come on home. And I was encouraged by her strength, because when I first got the call, she's about losing her mind. Her baby can't breathe, and she's just wondering if he's going to make it through. And she said, baby, you got to calm down. You got to calm down. You got to calm down. That's difficult. And sometimes y'all women will hurt us men. You don't care. You don't care. She didn't say that now. Go back and tell us. But she was strong for me. And what we got to do is learn how to be strong for one another. Things that are not that important to you may be vitally important to someone else. And if you're not sensitive enough to care about what's important to somebody else, how in the world do you expect for them to be sensitive enough to care about what's important to you? Selfishness. I said I was going to leave it alone, but here's what I want to tell you this morning. God has something great waiting on all of us. But we have to be willing to empty ourselves out and stand before God with all honesty and just tell him, Lord, I'm struggling right here. I need more power. I need more strength. I need more of your word. And we got to turn the TV off, stop watching Empire. If loving you is wrong, you know, we got to turn the TV off and just start opening that book. And the words of Barry White, practice what you preach.
There you go. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We have to start letting that word come alive in us. And so what I'm offering right now, we're getting ready to close, invitation time, and it's your time to really take a good look at where you are in life. Because you may be at a not so good place. And you may be there because of choices you've made. Your mindset could need some tweaking. You might need to adjust the way you look at people and the way you look at the word, and you may need some patience. You may need to just trust the Lord a little bit more. You may need to walk by faith just a little bit more. And you need to know that if God promised, he will provide. He's an on-time God. He's going to give you what you need. And as I learned through my situation, that, you know, and my niece blessed me. She did. She said, look, Uncle, I got this here. You just take care of that there. Don't you worry about this. I got this. And that made me feel so good to know that, you know, my family loves me that much, you know, to step in and to reassure me that it's going to be all right. And then she said something to me that was powerful. She said, you can do from where you are the very same thing that you are going to be doing when you get here. Golly. Sometimes when we get, we just kind of lose it. Mm-hmm. And we don't realize that it's the prayers that make the difference. Right. Talking to God is what we need to do. Mm-hmm. And so on my way to my seat, I want to encourage each and every individual in here who's going through something. Mm-hmm. Switch gears. Change lanes. Mm-hmm. Try something different. But whatever you do, I want to tell you, you need to trust in the Lord. Lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all of your ways. And if you do this, the word gives us a guarantee that he will. Can somebody say he will? You got to believe. Can somebody say he will? You got to know that God cares. You got to believe that he's going to make the difference in your life. Somebody ought to just say, thank you, Jesus, right now. Because he done bought some of us out of something already. And some of us is heading to something that we're going to need his protection through. We're going to need his guidance through. We're going to need him to be that bridge over troubled water, that shelter in the time of the storm. We're going to need him to be that rock that keeps us anchored. We're going to need the Lord. We're going to need him. But you have to set yourself up. He loves you, but God needs to see that you love him too. He never leaves us. We always leave him. And you know what I like about him? Every time I leave, I mess up. He's saying, come on, come on back home. Somebody here needs the Lord, and he's saying, come on. He's saying, come on. I heard him say, come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. But you got to take my yoke upon you and you got to learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden they're like. Jesus says, I am the way, I'm the truth and the life. No man can go unto the Father except he comes by me. How do I get to Jesus? I'm so glad you asked. You come by hearing his word. You've heard his word this morning. First of all commandments is to hear, O Israel, that the Lord thy God, he is one Lord. Mark 12:29. Come by believing. What are you going to believe? Believe that he is God's son. Believe that he has power to save. He has the power to help us to change. He has the power to give us an eternal home in heaven. Matthew 10:32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father, which is also in heaven. Confession is necessary. Repentance is necessary. Luke 13:3. I tell you right now, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. But if you're going to get into the body of Christ, you got to be buried. You got to be buried in the water grave of baptism. You got to be born again. You can't do it without baptism. You got to go down beneath that crimson flood. You got to meet Jesus. Meet the power of his blood. And watch all old things washed away. Witness all things becoming new. This puts you into Jesus Christ. But just being into Christ is not enough. We got to work out our soul salvation with both fear and trembling. We got a crisis, Dr. Gibb. The world don't fear the Lord anymore. The things that we're seeing out here, these folk really don't know the power of God. And you know God ain't going to be punked. Y'all know that. Y'all know that. We look around, see all these things, and we getting scared. No, we need to be praying. We need to be discipling. We need to be really out here doing what God wants us to do. Because when God shows up, everybody in that path going to get a little bit of it.
God help. Stay on.
I don't know about you, but I want to be all right.
I do too.
I want to be all right.
Yes, sir.
I got to sit down. Listen. Thank you, Dr. Gibbs, again, for allowing me the opportunity to share. And I pray that I've said something to bless some of y'all. I could have went 1,000 different places, but whoever made this banner here, they provoked me.
Yes.
And I pray that this lesson is a blessing to you.
Yes.
Amen.
But I want to encourage you with just, can I do a little bit of a song? Y'all want to learn a new song? Just a little bit of it, then I'm going to get out of the way and let this young man who's doing a wonderful job, by the way, continue to bless you. There's a little song that I sing at home, and it goes, I know the Lord's been good, so good to me. He gave his life on Calvary. Everything is gonna. I need some help back there. Yes, it will. Yes, everything is gone. I know that it's gonna, Lord, it will. Oh, it will. Lord, everything is. I'm on my way to my seat. Just long as I've got shoes to put on my feet, I've got something for my family to eat. Everything is gonna, Lord, it will be, Lord, and everything is gonna. Lord, Lord, I know, Lord, I know it will. Lord, everything is gone. Will you stand on your feet? We're going to sing the Savior's Invitation song, but encourage your neighbor right quick. I know it's gone. Yes, it will. Look at your neighbor. Tell your neighbor this, because they're going through something. Everything is. Through all my trials, through all of my cares, it'll. My God, he will. He'll make it all right, and everything.